Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, Mary Freebed and Gilda's Club Grand Rapids team up for supportive workshops for people going through the cancer journey. We get the details. The All Art Works Foundation announces a new gallery exhibition. The Great Rotary International Cook-Off happens on the 21st. We talk to the author of Remember to Eat and Other Stories. And Kelvin University Theater present their latest production. We get a preview of that as well.
Mary Freebed teams up with Gilda's Club Grand Rapids to offer a free supportive workshop focused upon how nutrition plays a meaningful role in the cancer journey. I get the best. Glad that you are here to discuss. Dr. A.J. Frompson, Mary Freebed resident physician. Good morning to you.
Hi, Shelley. Thank you so much for having me.
Good that you are here and studying as you have been probably since you knew you'd be a physician.
That's absolutely right. I've been studying for much too long.
Yes. Well, yeah, you'll always be a learner. Let's go there. Thank you for your support and your work with Mary Freebed. What is CREW and how to get started?
So CREW stands for Cancer Rehabilitation, Education, and Wellness. This is an initiative with or a partnership between Mary Freebed and Gilda's Club Grand Rapids. And our goal is to provide education and support for people impacted by cancer of all types. Since 2022, we've been offering free educational community workshops that feature expert advice from Mary Freebed rehab doctors as well as Gilda's Club social workers.
Cancer Rehabilitation, Education, and Wellness, mm-hmm. This series, Take a Bite Out of Cancer. What is unique about who leads these workshops?
Well, it's led by doctors who specialize in cancer rehabilitation, so you are getting up-to-date information right from the source. We also have special guests that usually join us. So for this nutrition workshop, we will have a lifestyle medicine physician from Corewell Health. Her name is Dr. Carolyn Vollmer. She's an expert on managing nutrition during the cancer journey. We will also have a registered dietitian from Mary Freebed who will be helping us out as well.
It is this Thursday, 6 to 7. You focus on different topics each time. What do we expect at Thursday's session?
So this is called Take a Bite Out of Cancer. This session is focused on managing or optimizing nutrition throughout the cancer journey. It can be really challenging to meet all of your nutritional needs during cancer treatment or at any point during survivorship. There's a lot of side effects from cancer treatments that are really making that hard. And that can lead to just making day-to-day life hard. So we are going to be talking about how to eat well during cancer treatment, the benefits of eating well, and some easy swaps that folks can make to kind of maintain their energy and maintain their nutrition. If you are having trouble meeting your daily nutrition, then we can talk about how to kind of cope with that, manage some of the symptoms that you may be feeling as well.
What's an example of your advice?
Well, a lot of times I think people have a lot of side effects from the medications that they're taking. These are life-saving medications, but which are super important, but we don't often talk about some of the impairments that they lead to. So when it comes to your diet, it's important to liberalize diet and kind of eat things that you enjoy and that you can reliably keep down so that you're able to have energy throughout the day. So we'll talk about some like behavioral changes that you can make, as well as maybe some medications that you might want to talk to your doctor about.
Yes. What makes you passionate about helping lead this?
I have firsthand experience with my mom, who was diagnosed with breast cancer last year. And there was a lot of information coming at her. There was a lot of doctor's appointments that she was juggling. And it can be tough to feel in control when there's so many moving parts. So I'm passionate about this because if there's any way that I myself or my team can make this cancer journey easier on somebody and kind of lessen that burden, that's what we're here for.
Dr. A.J. Frompson with us, Mary Freebed, Rehabilitation Resident Physician, helping lead the CREW workshops. Our workshop we're discussing is this Thursday, of course, at Gilda's Club, Grand Rapids, off of Bridge Street. We'll give you the details. Dr. Frompson, how meaningful is the partnership between Mary Freebed and Gilda's?
This has been a wonderful relationship throughout the years. We really are lucky to have this partnership. So with these educational workshops, not only are people able to leave with new knowledge on their condition and learning more about their bodies, but we're also creating an instant community for them. There are so many things that Gilda's Club does outside of just these educational workshops. And so just coming to see the facility and getting plugged in with this wonderful support system, it really shows people that they are not alone in this cancer journey.
What feedback have you received from attendees in the past?
Yeah, so we've been giving out surveys after each session because we want to make sure that we are meeting the needs of the community. And so far, we've been getting some great feedback. People are saying that they are able to gain new knowledge, they're able to better express their feelings about cancer, and it improves their confidence in managing their day-to-day life. So really encouraging so far. We also encourage participants to let us know what topics they're interested in. If they want to know more about something, we will likely take that to heart and incorporate it into future sessions.
Nice. More specifics of the workshop prior to our goodbyes. Who would you like in your audience? And is there a registration process at all?
Anyone is open to join. These sessions are open to the public. We encourage people who are impacted by cancer of any type and their family members to join. If you are a caregiver or a loved one of somebody dealing with cancer, come by and say hi to us. We offer in-person, this workshop is in-person, but we also offer a virtual option. If you go to www.gildasclubgr.org, click on the calendar and you'll see our event pop up. You are welcome to RSVP on that website, but you don't have to. Just show up and come see what we're all about.
Yes, the first step is showing up, and yet you'll be glad you did. Details one more time for Thursday, please.
So this is called Take a Bite Out of Cancer, how to optimize and manage nutrition all throughout the cancer journey. Come join us Thursday night, February 5th from 6 to 7 p.m. at Gilda's Club Grand Rapids off of Bridge Street. We will have a free dinner at 5:30 preceding. So if anything, come for the free food.
There is that and more. Thank you for your service. Continued good work at Mary Freebed as a resident physician, Dr. A.J. Frompson. Take care.
Thank you so much, Shelley.
All Artworks Foundation presents Still Here, artists who shape Grand Rapids. You bet we're an art community, and why not bring those who shape the wonderful Grand Rapids together? We'll talk to you about this. John Fenton, All Artworks Foundation Executive Director. We've talked before, we'll talk again. Morning, John.
Good morning, how are you?
Doing fine. How are things at All Artworks across from the ballet?
They're great. Yeah, we're excited for this weekend on Saturday. We're hosting a pretty great show featuring a few artists who have been not only working in the arts for 20, 30, 40 years, a piece, but also living here in our community, Grand Rapids.
Appreciate you. All right, let's do our 101s. Tell me about All Artworks and the foundation arm under your leadership.
Yeah, so All Artworks is, in one sense, a traditional art gallery space, but we're also, through the All Artworks Foundation, a nonprofit, and through that, we seek to increase access to the arts. We seek to make sure that everyone is welcome into art spaces here in town, and folks have an opportunity to show their work.
And where is your wonderful gallery located again?
We're at 333 Cesar E. Chavez Southwest, right across the street from the ballet. About a block south of Founders.
It's a wonderful venue for sure. Been there, will continue. You are bringing artists together, as you mentioned, a reception this Saturday night, and then, of course, the exhibition for the next week. Tell us about your artists. Who is involved in Still Here, Artists Who Shape Grand Rapids?
Well, we've got four excellent artists, like I said, who have been living and working here in Grand Rapids for a while. Derek Hallowell, Henry Brown, and Lowell and Stephen Reynolds are our four artists who will be on exhibition this weekend, and like you said, throughout the week.
How did you choose your artists?
Well, we were primarily interested in finding some folks. Art spaces tend to, I think, fall into a thing where sometimes younger artists maybe are being featured, and so we wanted to highlight some folks whose art you probably have definitely seen around town, but who may not be getting the attention that they really deserve for having established themselves as being career artists who work and live here in Grand Rapids.
Nice. So what will we see of their work? I guess you're talking about reclaiming shared cultural memory. Tell me what we will see on the wall and obviously available for purchase.
Yeah, the art that you'll see on the walls represents, in some cases, a little bit of what they've been able to achieve over their lifetimes and their careers as artists, but also brand new works by these artists as well. So if you are familiar with their work, you'll be able to see some new things. And if you're not familiar with any of these four artists, now is the time to come out, meet them. This is also a storytelling opportunity, right? We want folks to come out and share stories of other artists that they know have been living and working here for a while, and certainly for these four gentlemen to be able to share their stories of here in Grand Rapids as well.
Yes, you say alongside the work, the exhibition invites residents, family members, community members with firsthand knowledge to share stories, behind-the-scenes work. How's that? Creating that space. And you dubbed this as four longtime Grand Rapids artists. As you mentioned, Henry, Derek, Lowell, and Stephen, they've grown up here. What do you define as a longtime artist, with the exception of maybe they're over 30?
Certainly decades worth of work, right? Yeah, I mean, that's the main thing. And, you know, again, I think we tend to focus, you know, a lot on what is new and exciting in art. But a lot of times we also need to remember that it's the folks who have been doing work for decades, who have been mentoring, they have proteges themselves, they make their spaces open. And certainly over the last 30 or 40 years, these guys have all contributed to the arts landscape here in Grand Rapids in a way that has made things like Art Prize possible.
John Fenton in the house, All Artworks Foundation Executive Director, discussing Still Here, Artists Who Shape Grand Rapids. Yes, this community-centered exhibition honoring local masters. There we are. Talk to me more about the opening reception that's this Saturday night.
Yeah, well, people have the opportunity to meet these artists there, to engage with the arts community, do a little bit of the storytelling like we talked about a second ago, but also I think a big focus of it too is to hear and to listen to the stories that these four artists have to share with all of us. And of course, we'll have a little bit of entertainment and refreshment as well. DJ Monk, who I know you know well, will be spinning.
Oh, yeah, that got me there, live music and entertainment. And will there be an opportunity, I always like to know, it's between 6 and 9, to hear from the artists? Will there be a kind of a call to order and some speaking opportunity?
Yes, certainly. We'll make some remarks, and each of the artists will have a few minutes to explain, you know, an overview of their career and what the art that they've brought with them to share with us this weekend.
John, this has been made possible in part by support from the City of Grand Rapids Neighborhood Match Fund. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we were fortunate enough to receive some funding from the city to help bring this together. You know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of energy. And, you know, sometimes that means a lot of money, too, in order to go out into the community, bring this work together, prepare the space for it, and, of course, host, you know, hopefully upwards of 150, 200 people.
Nice. And when the exhibition is over, February 14th, does art still hang on your wall, John? Do you start preparing for the next, as they say?
Yeah, this exhibition will be up through the 14th. You'll have an opportunity to come in and see it if you do miss the opening reception on Saturday. And there is always work on the walls at All Artworks. So after the 14th, we'll prepare the next show, and that'll be, you know, one of our regular rotating art shows that features artists from all over the country who are part of the All Artworks group.
Remind me, are you an artist?
I dabble.
Okay, there we are. Dabbling's good.
Yeah.
Well, I know you and Chris and the rest of the team, such good work you do, a great venue, as we've been mentioning, and obviously now a way to continue to honor those master artists. Details one more time for Saturday and beyond, please.
Saturday, September.
Saturday. I kind of wish, but no, let's not rush life. But
Saturday, February 7th, 6 to 9 p.m., at the All Artworks Viewing Studio, 333 Cesar E. Chavez Avenue Southwest.
Wonderful. All right, take care. AllArtworks.com for more information. Thanks for your leadership, John Fenton. Take care.
Thank you.
It's the Great Rotary International Cook-Off. It's the 21st of the month. Three local Rotary clubs involved in this vibrant culinary event that celebrates cultural diversity to the life of Greater Holland and beyond. Stellar guests in the house. Self-introductions as I'll chew up your names. Yada, is it Ramirez? How'd we do?
Yes, that's actually perfect.
Okay. Well, perfect gets you in trouble, but Yada, thank you. How are you involved in this event?
Yes, so I am one of the Lakeshore United Rotaract Club members. In fact, actually both of us here today are. So from that standpoint, and so just boots on the ground, volunteer, helping make all of this happen with a lot of other lovely folks.
Wonderful. I'll go with Olay.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. All right, finish it up for me.
Olay Sapap Masai.
Yes, that too. thank you for you, but appreciate your leadership. Tell me your involvement.
Sure. So I came on board about a year ago. I met Charles Elwood, and I work for Flagstar Bank, and we started talking, and he thought that I would be a good fit for Rotaract, and you know, now we got 12 months into it. I'm on the committee from start to finish, and I'm looking forward to this. Another opportunity.
Just some basic definitions. Of course, Rotary strong nationally, internationally, obviously regionally and locally in your great area. The Rotaract, tell me more about this niche in Rotary.
Yes. So we are a community level designated club for Rotarians out there. They'll be familiar with Rotaract at the community level. And really, we are focused on community service, cultural diversity, and professional development for our members, but also investing into those focus areas within the broader community.
Yes. All right. We have an event Saturday, February 21st, the Great Rotary International Cook-Off. Which three Rotary clubs are coming together, Ole?
We've got the Noon Club, we've got the Holland Rotary, and we've got Rotaract.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And before I get into the specifics, I'll stay with you, Olay. Why are you doing this? Why are the three of you coming together, and why are we calling it international with a capital N?
Well, last year we started with just noodles. This year we're going international. We've got Hispanic restaurants. We've got Asian restaurants. So we want to make it, just so that everybody can join our
mission.
Yes, thank you.
Togetherness. How's that?
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Yep, and to add to that, we actually even have a soul food restaurant represented this year. So, yes, definitely a big group of folks, restaurant owners coming together to share in the celebration of diversity for our area and for folks to try a lot of tasty, delicious food.
Correct. Yes. And with the help of not only Rotary and the community, I was able to open a restaurant here with my wife in Grand Rapids on Wealthy Street, on 1117 Wealthy, and we are one of the participating restaurants. It's called Street Eats and Boba.
Okay, I'm going to take my power lunch there. Street Eats and Boba, very nice. Yes, is this yet a fundraiser as well as a friendraiser and more?
Yes, absolutely. So all the proceeds will go towards supporting the local area Rotary and Rotaract Club service projects for the Holland Zeeland area. So that includes Heart Safe Holland, as well as the Ottawa Beach Water Safety Programs and Leaders of the 21st Century, which invests in developing the leadership skills of local area middle school students.
Yes. Olay, tell me more about the evening itself. Is this held at your Midtown Center in Holland?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Yep. The doors open at 6, and mm-hmm. it runs to, I believe, 8:30.
Yep. Give me that extra half an hour. are you selling tickets prior?
That is correct, yes. It's on the website. There is a QR code. Get your tickets now, because last year it sold out 2 or 3 times.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. And then my goal as a participant is to walk around, try my hand at all the tastings.
That is correct. So you'll have your tickets, your drink tickets. It's all going to be in your package there, and there is going to be a silent auction. So check us out on the website.
Is my buddy Jennifer Pasqua going to call the meeting to order?
Yes.
Yes, she'll be our wonderful MC again. So we're so lucky to have her.
Cool. More on Rotary, as you're mentioning. I mean, the international scope of Rotary demonstrates what? A strong local commitment to the world brought home to, and I'm reading this obviously, to promote peace and understanding to our local communities. Rotary is very, I'll stay with you, Yadav, it's very intentionally local, but there's always in the back of our minds knowing the international flavor here.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So as you mentioned, Rotary International really brings together a global network of volunteers that dedicate their time and talent to addressing some of the world's most pressing humanitarian issues. And then, again, being able then to connect volunteers from over 200 different countries, geographical areas, including our own. And so we're making impact in people's lives and the lives of our community members, both locally and internationally.
Any entertainment on this evening?
Yes, we've actually got a West Ottawa student. He's 14 years old. He was born here in the U.S. And he doesn't speak Lao nor read or write, but he can play Lao music.
That'll work, right?
Yeah, William's a great guy.
Yes. What's your day job?
Yes, so I actually work as a director of community impact for the Holland Zealand Community Foundation.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. That's another interview in itself, isn't it? What's the takeaway message from attending the Saturday, February 21st Great Rotary International Cook-Off?
Yeah, so we hope that in being able to attend this event that folks in our community are really able to celebrate together the diversity in the Holland Zealand area, broader West Michigan, but then also be able to get a little glimpse of the contributions that these different cultural communities have been able to add to our area and even celebrate those contributions as well.
Ole, we're calling this a cook-off. Is there a contest?
Yes, the grand prize winner last year was the Singapore Room, and they, I think David Beatty was the one who he had this beautiful wooden bowl that we presented to the Singapore Room. But so, yes, that would be the grand prize.
So are we voting as your guests walk around? Is there voting? How does one win? Yes.
That is correct.
So there'll be additional ticket purchasing for voting. So everyone will be able to enjoy the tasty flavors regardless if they choose to opt out of voting. But we really do hope folks will purchase those extra voting tickets and really make their voice heard for who they feel has the most tastiest dish to win this year.
Because it is kind of a cook-off, a vibrant culinary and cultural event that does celebrate global flavors, reflecting great diversity of cultures and more, and a bottom line fundraiser for the Great Rotary. Your final comment, Yada?
Yeah, I really hope folks will join us this year. Again, as Ole mentioned, we had a sold out event last year, and so it's really great to just see all the tremendous community support in making impact today.
How do I get my tickets again, Ole?
You'll go to the Holland Rotary Rotaract website, and you can purchase through there through a QR code, or you can contact one of us. But yeah, we hope to see everybody at the event, and we want to make it year after year just larger and larger.
And how does one join Rotary?
They can also contact us or visit the lakeshorerotaract.org website, as Ole mentioned.
That's correct.
Again, what's the name of your restaurant?
It's called Rock and Tie Street Eats and Boba, 1117 Wealthy Street.
All right. Well, kudos on you. I'll leg up for the cook-off winner. How's that?
I would love to see you. Thank you.
Take care to you both, Ole and Yana, on behalf of the Great Rotary International with the Capital N Cook-Off on the 21st of February. Well, the title should attract you. Remember to Eat and Other Stories. Meryl Ain on the line talking about her life as a writer and as a Jewish woman. Let's cut to the chase and ask why that's important. Meryl, a pleasure. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, and thank you so much for having me, Shelley. I really appreciate it.
Quite welcome. Anything with that title and a dog on the front cover gets my thumbs up. Thank you for that. Why a dog on the front cover?
Why a dog on the front cover? Well, that it was the choice of the publisher, yeah. to put it, and I, you know, but there is a story in the book about a dog. In fact, it's the second story in the book. It's called Mother-in-Law. And Marjorie, who's one of the main characters of in the book, she's got three sons, twin sons, and then another son and a younger daughter. And her first son to be married is getting married to something of a bridezilla. So there's no mention. There's the little sister of the three brothers. She's about 16. And there's no mention of the daughter being in the bridal party. And Marjorie is getting more and more upset. So finally she says something to her son. Her son speaks to his fiance, and anyway, it turns out the dog is the center of attention. The dog has a special little outfit, and finally, she begrudgingly allows the 16-year-old daughter to also be in the bridal party. But the dog is the center of attention.
There we are. Thank you for that. Good work on you and your publisher. Big picture, these are a collection of stories. I see the perfect book for when you want to read about a family that isn't yours. And are you spotlighting what it means to be Jewish today, Meryl?
Yeah, totally. I actually did write the stories after October 7th, and they just sort of flowed. So, yeah, it's about a Jewish family. It's about Jewish identity, and totally that is a major part of the book.
Thank you. And of course, let's talk more about the topic. You no stranger to writing this collection, described again, loosely linked short stories. Your main characters are women. And one of the themes looks like opportunities for women and how they've changed in the generations since World War II. You want to expand here?
Yes. So Marjorie's mother is Alice. Alice is actually unusual for her time. You know, as a Jewish woman, she's a college graduate. And the week she graduates from college, she joins the military because it's during World War II. And in the military, she has writing ability, so she's put on the Army, the base, the newspaper, and she interviews important people, and she has a lot of responsibility. And after the war, you know, she wants to get married and have babies, and she ends up, you know, being relegated to baking brownies until she does decide to go back to work. But she's going back to work in an environment that's really fraught with discrimination against women. And even though she is quite talented and capable, her male boss gets all the credit.
Yes. You have a chapter entitled Celebrity, where, possibly you come down hard on people who are famous. Tell us more. Is this a true description, an accurate comment?
Well, not all people who are famous. Some people who are famous are quite lovely. You know, some of them are just really, I think, full of themselves. And having met some celebrities, you know, I this is really based on a personal experience I had, which I'm not going to say who it was, but this person was, I had watched him on TV every day, and I you know, hung on every word he said, and I actually met him at an event. And I mean, he was so rude and so dismissive and so full of himself, and it just made me start thinking. You know, you watch these pundits and you think that they have more knowledge or more information than you have. And if you are knowledgeable, they really don't. They're just pontificators, many of them. I mean, not all.
Meryl Ain with us, A-I-N, her latest work, Remember to Eat and Other Stories. Give me one more theme to take away with here, Meryl.
Okay. So another theme in my book is, you know, what it means to be Jewish in these difficult times.
You also have a story about a spelling bee?
Oh, the spelling bee, yes. That is part of a larger story in the book, which is called the end of giggling, and Marjorie is remembering some of her childhood experiences, and you know it starts out she's a flower girl at her aunt's wedding, but she's a very very good speller, and there are two groups in the class, the white group and the red group, and there are only a few kids in the red group, which she's in, and she'd rather be in the white group because all her friends are in there. But this story just sort of veers in one of the girls who she's with loses a father, and the other one loses both her parents, and this spelling bee really does not end up to be as important as she originally conceived it to be.
Nice. Well, thank you for this warm read in a cold winter season. Remember to Eat and Other Stories. Meryl, how do we find out more information about your work?
Okay. My website is MerylAin.com. I'm on Facebook, and I also have a group on Facebook called Jews Love to Read. The book is on online, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookshop.org.
Where all fine books are sold. All right, Meryl, we'll be following you. Continued good work to you, and we may talk again. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shelley.
Let's talk to those involved with Calvin University Theater. Their latest production is ready to roll this weekend. Speaking today with John Scritchfield, you direct Peter and the Star Catcher. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning.
Appreciate you. Cora DeYoung, it's dress week. You feel good?
Yeah, it's all coming together really well.
As it often does that week prior, but we know the good work that has to be done from day one, you playing Molly. John, glad Calvin University has a strong theater department. This is kind of cool. Peter and the Star Catcher, take it away.
So Peter and the Star Catcher is a prequel story to one of the most beloved children's characters of all time, Peter Pan. And Molly, or Cora here, who's playing Molly
that's
Astor.
That's good that you called her Molly.
I know, right? Yeah. It's just ingrained. is the titular star catcher of the show. So,
when's the run?
So we open this coming Friday, February 6th at 7:30. Then we have two shows on the 7th at 2 and 7:30, and then the 13th and 14th at those same times.
Yes. This is based on the novel by Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson.
Yes, it is. Which is an entire series of Peter and the Starcatcher novels.
Yes. And lastly, before I go to you, Molly / Cora, are we in Calvin University's theater production schedule?
So this is our tech week. So tomorrow we'll have our photo call and the very popular amongst our students stuffed animal run. So everyone brings in a stuffed animal, sets it in the audience. So we're going to have a faux audience. Yep. And then on Thursday we have our open dress. And then Friday we open up and we're ready to go.
It cuts the nerves a little bit knowing stuffed animals are in the audience on stage. All right, Cora, what are you studying at Calvin?
I'm studying studio art.
Yes, and why take a role with, of course, Peter and the Starcatcher?
Theater has always been a huge passion of mine, and I've been doing it for years. And I knew as soon as I got to Kelvin, I wanted to do something related to theater.
Yes. In your words, what's the story about, and how is Molly portrayed?
The story is very much a story of childhood and whimsy, and Molly is a child in that regard, but she also does a lot of growing up throughout the story and growing into herself. And
So the story revolves around this material called star stuff, that comes from the stars, and it helps you be who you want to be, but it's also very, very dangerous in the wrong hands. So Molly Astor and her father are tasked with throwing it into Mount Jalapeno, the world's largest volcano, but unfortunately they get taken over by pirates who are after this treasure. But through all of this we see the origins of Peter Pan and Neverland, and the origins of mermaids, and just have a lot of fun, great fun for the entire family.
And that's why you do theater. You kind of escape for a bit. Is other characters involved? So there's a father on stage with you.
My sweet mate Anna actually plays my father in the show, so that's a lot of fun.
That's gotta be kind of cool, sweet mate conversation.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I have a bunch of friends in the cast. They're all wonderful. And it's very great getting to know all these people through such a fun show.
Wonderful. And back to who else is in the show for this. Tell me, John, is this for students and others? Or what's the opportunity that your actors get here?
So the cast is entirely students. It is a character piece, so they all play multiple roles throughout. So you have a group of three orphans, one who has no name, of course, becomes Peter Pan, and Prentice and Ted, a whole gaggle of pirates and islanders, all with funny little quirks. And as a father of four, I was inspired by my kids playing Minecraft and playing out all of these stories on their treehouse. So our set is actually a treehouse that sets on the middle of our revolving stage. So you get 360 degree views of the set throughout the show. The ship turns and moves as it's battered by the waves, and it becomes different scenes, different pieces of the jungle, ropes and lighting effects that make our different scenes come to life. And again, with a cast of very energetic 18 to 22 year olds.
There we are. Compare that to like 8 to 12 year olds, you're probably...
Oh, it's true. And mine are 4 to 12. So it's I run,
nice.
have a wide stretch there.
May you never lose that energy. You know that, Cora. That's a compliment. And what's it like as an actor? I mean, here you are walking onto you've been probably in a rehearsal room, and then you walk onto a set, and then you start to get into costume. What's this week like?
It starts to feel very real and very connected to everything, and having the lights on and the stage doing all the rotates and being in full costume really is immersive in the story for me as an actor. Mm-hmm. And I can really get into the role, and the lights just make it feel so official and real, and I'm very excited to open.
And dare I say magical. That's when the magic of theater becomes the magic of art.
Yes. This is not a musical.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it is. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
No. It's underscored throughout. Actually, I had the pleasure of working with my son on this as well. My colleague, Brad Kane, suggested that I have my son, who's very adept at animations, create the animations for our projections. So I got to work with my 12-year-old son on this project as well,
cool.
Which was really cool.
We know where he's destined. Yes, it's a play by Rick Elise with music by Wayne Baker right in front of me there. There we are. How are you balancing studies with rehearsals? That whole line, Cora.
I'm studying art. I am studying. I'm studying.
Now the secret is out to success.
No, I'm studying mostly art, so it's easier to focus on those things, but the academic side is definitely something I need to balance, just because this show does demand a lot of time, and I'm having so much fun with it, but it's very exhausting.
Yes, well, again.
And one of the phenomenal components of being a student at Calvin University is there is a what they call the Calvin Vibes class. It's Core 100. It's taught by enfranchised faculty, mm-hmm. and it just kind of helps students acclimate to the Calvin ethos, mm-hmm. the Calvin energy. And Cora, having interest in theater, was placed in one of my Core 100 classes. Ooh. So for 6 weeks, I got to indoctrinate her with, you know, the beauty of liberal arts education. But also, hey, you should come audition for Peter and the Starcatcher.
Never say no to those. How's John as a director?
Oh, John is an amazing director. I'm not just saying that to butter you up on the radio. No, like, it's so incredible having you as a director. It's very different from an experience I've had because it's very freeing in a way. Like, you open us up to make our own choices and will stop us if we go somewhere you don't like. But it's freeing to just throw something out there and see what sticks and know that John's going to help us through it.
Yep. But wait, when the curtain goes up, though, you're on it. John may not even come to the show. Some directors, but I'm glad you're in the audience for sure. How important is it that we, you know where I'm going with this question, John? We study hard, but we follow our love for arts and more.
Well, for sure. Well, like I said, Calvin is a liberal arts institute, so they try to encourage and allow students the opportunity to study various different forms of art, but also engage with different worldviews and perspectives. Part of that comes through Core 100, but also that is having a faculty that encourages students to get outside their comfort zone and to try different things. So we have a wide breadth of different studies and different majors who come and participate with the Calvin Theater Company.
And I see this. I'm on your calvin.edu website. In celebration of the 150th anniversary, Peter and the Starcatcher reflects the presence of Calvin Theater Company, having been previously produced in 2019.
Yes. Yeah, it was in 2019. That was actually, I think, the first show I worked on. It was before I was the creative director here. I was brought in by my predecessor to do fight choreography. So I have worked on both productions of Peter and the Starcatcher at Calvin University, even before my time as a faculty member.
Is there some fight involved with Peter and the Starcatcher?
Oh, as a fight choreographer and stage combat proficionado, of course there is. So, but again, because it's, you know, patterned after children playing on a treehouse, it's a lot of fun. And they may or may not be using lightsabers, making wooing noises as they're clashing.
It's theater, however you please the audience. Why come see the show, Cora DeYoung playing Molly in Peter and the Starcatcher?
It's just so fun of a show. It's got so much comedy. It's still funny, even after running it so many times in practice. It's a hilarious show and does have some emotional parts too, but we've just been wheezing at some parts because it's just so much fun.
That's the key, talent on stage. One more time, John Scritchfield, would you share the run and how to get tickets?
Absolutely. So we run this weekend, Friday and Saturday, 7:30 at 2 and 7:30. Same thing next weekend on the 13th and the 14th. You can find tickets on Calvin's website. I'm blanking on the website.
Calvin.edu.
Just Calvin.edu. Search for tickets for Peter and the Starcatcher. And your listeners can save if they put in the discount code radio. I believe it's a $3 discount, but at the very least, it's a substantial discount.
I'm saving $3, that's for sure. Thank you for you both representing Calvin Theater, Calvin University Theater, presenting their latest production, Peter and the Starcatcher. Catch a star. Thank you all. All right, taking pictures, 9:56 in the morning, your inspiration for the day, according to Olin Miller. You probably wouldn't worry about what people think of you if you could know how seldom they do. Oh, hope you enjoy the show. I'm Shelley Irwin. Have a great Tuesday.